Welcome to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and joining me today is Jenny, who is our PAT expert naturopath based in Auckland, New Zealand. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jess.
We're part of Health and Wellness Australia and Auckland, who are a team of naturopaths around Australia and New Zealand that specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT. So we've had an increase in inquiries recently from clients who have been diagnosed with mast cell activation syndrome, or MCAS, and they're asking how we can help. So in today's episode, Jenny is going to explain what the condition is, why people are being diagnosed with it more than ever, the difference between MCAS and histamine intolerance, and how PAT can potentially help. It's a really interesting topic and may be the key to your seemingly random allergy symptoms and give you some insight into how to manage them. So to start us off, Jenny, what is mast cell activation syndrome?
Sure. So firstly, mast cell activation syndrome is a dysregulation of your mast cells. So it's a condition that causes mast cells to release a disproportionate amount of chemicals into your body that can cause allergy and other types of symptoms anywhere in your body.
And what are mast cells?
Mast cells are white blood cells that are part of your immune system. So they help you to fight infections, but they're also involved in allergic reactions. So mast cells live longer than normal cells because they play a part in your immune system's early response to viruses and pathogens. So they're found in the highest numbers where your body meets the outside world. So that's your skin, lungs, and digestive tract. But they are actually present in almost every tissue of our bodies except the retina of the eye.
And what is the function of mast cells?
So mast cells are responsible for their immediate allergic reaction. So they cause the allergic symptoms of itchy or swollen skin, mucus buildup, tightened airways, wheezing, headaches, and anaphylaxis by releasing products called mediators, which are stored inside them or made by them. So in allergic reactions, this release occurs when the allergy antibody IgE, which is present in the mast cell surfaces, binds to the proteins that cause allergies called allergens. So those are things like pollens, dust mites, or certain foods. So this triggering is called activation, and the release of the mediators is called dysregulation. So some of these mediators are stored as granules in the mast cells and are released quickly, and others are made slowly, only after the cell has been triggered. And mast cells can also be activated by other substances such as mold, medications, infections, insects, or even reptile bites. So mast cells are involved in your body's inflammatory response by releasing inflammatory mediators like histamine when you're exposed to a pathogen or an allergen. So histamine is, you know, the most commonly known one, but it's not the only mediator. There's actually over 1,000, including prostaglandins, interleukins, cytokines, and substance P, just to name a few.
So what actually happens when someone has mast cell activation syndrome?
So in people affected by this, the mast cell mediators are released too frequently or profusely in response to triggers that are not supposed to be harmful, such as foods or chemicals in the environment. So this leads to a wide range of symptoms as it can affect multiple parts of the body, depending on which mast cells in the body are dysregulated, which receptors are affected, and which mediators are being overreleased. So it's actually estimated that about 17% of the population may have this condition and don't even know it.
That's massive. So what kind of symptoms are typically associated with it?
Because the mast cells can be anywhere in your body, symptoms can vary depending on what body system is involved. But chronic fatigue, chronic muscle and joint pain are common. Hypermobility of the joints has also been linked. And because the mast cells are present in your bone marrow, they can also cause bone pain. On the skin, it can cause skin conditions like itching, flushing, hives, red irritated eyes, skin burning, slow healing of the skin, rosacea, psoriasis, and eczema. In the respiratory system, the symptoms can be wheezing, asthma, shortness of breath, sinus congestion, or postnasal drip. With the gastrointestinal symptoms, it can be diarrhea, constipation, acid reflux, IBS, trouble swallowing, like throat tightness and mouth burning. Hair loss can be quite common because the hair follicles are inflamed and they can't hold on to the root. In the cardiovascular system, there can be chest pains and heart palpitations and a rapid heartbeat. Mast cell activation syndrome can also contribute to endometriosis, painful menstruation, hormone balances, inflammation in the urinary tract, bladder burning, and pain is also common in both men and women. And almost all chronic inflammation has a connection with mast cell activation syndrome. And an interesting one is people who have a lot of sensitivities with foods or smells and can't tolerate supplements or medications often have mast cell activation as well. So they're the ones that can only have a little bit of something before they get into a reaction.
And is there a link between MCAS and the nervous system as well?
Yeah, and this is really interesting because mast cells also release some neurotransmitters and neuropeptides. So they're actually in communication with the nervous system. So they reside alongside every nerve sheath and nerve ending. So they're the connection point between the nervous system and the rest of the body. So this is why stress can cause the mast cells to be activated. And the stress of having mast cell activation syndrome can also make more symptoms develop. So it's kind of this vicious cycle of symptoms. So, on saying that, managing your stress is really important because it can cause a flare up when you're feeling this way. And the most important parts of the nervous system to focus on are the limbic system and the nervous and the vagus nerve. But it also affects the brain with brain fog, trouble recalling words being really, really common. There can be headaches, anxiety, depression, insomnia, and tinnitus as well. So it's huge.
Yeah, massive. And how about autoimmune conditions?
Yeah, so because the way the immune system works with the mast cells, almost every form of autoimmune conditions will have some form of this mast cell activation syndrome. So you can see it really does affect every part of the body. And depending on what's happening to you at the time, depends on what symptoms you'll get. So because of this, figuring out if you have it can be really tricky. So a few guidelines are if you have symptoms that affect more than one body system, say like your skin or your gastrointestinal tract, or the symptoms come and go or are cyclical, or if there seem to be a lot of different triggers or it's really hard to find out what these triggers are, or you have had this dramatic change in symptoms, you might have mast cell activation syndrome. Another major clue is if you're taking antihistamines and it reduces or relieves your symptoms, then you may have it. Though to properly diagnose it, you need to seek medical advice and do testing.
And is it also true that overuse of antihistamines can actually make things worse for mast cell activation syndrome?
Yeah, so you know, what antihistamines do is they are only blocking the histamine receptors. So they don't actually reduce histamine. So your body can develop a tolerance to these medications, meaning that you have to take more and more of them over the time with fewer and fewer results. And another problem with these medications is the inactive ingredients that are in them. So antihistamines and mast cell stabilizing medications often have artificial colors or other additives in them that can basically trigger mast cell and histamine.
And this condition also sounds similar to histamine intolerance. So what's the difference between the two?
So when there's ongoing mast cell activation, it can make it increasingly difficult for your body to process this excess histamine, which can cause you to develop histamine intolerance and its related symptoms. So the difference between mast cell activation syndrome and histamine intolerance is that mast cell activation syndrome secretes multiple mediators in addition to histamine, whereas histamine intolerance, the mast cells are only releasing histamine and nothing else.
Okay, so just to recap, mast cell activation syndrome is a dysfunction of the mast cells where there is an excess of mediators like histamine released by the immune system. And this can trigger a vast array of allergy-like symptoms, but also contribute to autoimmune conditions and nervous system dysregulation. So we're actually seeing this diagnosis more than ever in our clinics. So what are the factors that can cause mast cell activation syndrome to develop in the first place?
So again, this is a really interesting area. So there's several factors that can trigger mast cell activation syndrome, but there are two major ones we have had more exposure to over the last few years. So firstly, COVID has created a spike in mast cell activation sufferers as the COVID virus can cause excessive disruption of the mast cells, which can make them become super sensitized. So this triggers the release of an excess of many inflammatory mediators like histamine, and it creates this cytokine storm. Then that's the ones that can cause more severe symptoms and sometimes lead to hospitalization when you've got COVID. So once this mast cell response is turned up, it sometimes doesn't go down after the virus is cleared from the body. So the immune system remains active. So this can cause long COVID and trigger the development of allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances to food or environmental substances. And this doesn't just affect adults. So children with food allergies and asthma had a higher rate of getting severe COVID and a higher risk of long COVID with lasting symptoms of fatigue and sensory changes and sleep problems. And the second factor that we've been exposed to after the last few years due to La Nina is mold. So chronic mold exposure means that you're inhaling mold mycotoxins, which can cause your immune system to be on high alert at all times. So in an attempt to protect you from ongoing danger, but it actually causes inflammation and the excess release of histamine and other mediators, which can trigger the mast cell activation syndrome. So if you've had flooding or water damage in your house or work and have started to get symptoms, it's important to find out if you have a mold problem and sort it out, as this will continue to dampen your immune system response, disrupt your hormones and affect detoxification pathways, your nervous system and your gut health.
Yeah, we've all had a really full-on last 5 years, so it's really no surprise that we're seeing the effects of that now in clinic. We've also noticed that mast cell activation syndrome seems to disproportionately affect women. So is there a link to female hormones?
Yeah, so hormone imbalance can be a big contributor to mast cell activation syndrome. So ladies, you may have noticed that your allergy symptoms get worse at certain times during your menstrual cycle, or your symptoms have increased since becoming perimenopausal. I don't know if you made the link up there when I was talking about all this symptoms. A lot of them sound like menopausal symptoms as well. And so you can get an increase in your hay fever symptoms from seasonal allergies. Foods you've previously were able to eat are now kind of giving you skin irritations or digestive problems. And alcohol, especially red wine, can give you a sleepless night after drinking it. So this is because high histamine levels occur when estrogen is high. So during ovulation, just before your period, or this ever fluctuating time that's perimenopause. So the problem is that estrogen stimulates mast cells to release histamine and down-regulates an enzyme called DAO, which clears histamine from the body. So the complicated part is that at the same time, histamine stimulates the ovaries to make more estrogen. So you've got this pattern of estrogen, histamine, which can trigger mast cell activation syndrome. And the issue with perimenopause and menopause in particular is that estrogen and progesterone receptors are also on the mast cells too, which is why menopausal hormonal changes affect this release of histamine from mast cells in response to the compounds which stimulate an allergic reaction in the body.
So how can we actually start to reduce this vicious cycle of histamine and mast cell dysregulation?
So to keep histamine in balance after mast cells make it, there's an enzyme called histamine N-methyltransferase, or HNMT, and diamine oxides, or DAO, which I was talking about before. So that clears it out of your system. But this can become unbalanced if there's too much histamine coming in. So this can happen from having too much estrogen in your body, eating high histamine foods, having mast cell activation from inflammation, food sensitivities, too much alcohol, or from intestinal gut dysbiosis. So firstly, we can reduce foods that contain histamine and mediate the release of it. So histamine is in a wide range of foods, and they need to be ripened before they're eaten. And so an interesting one is that fermentation is a major problem for mast cell activation syndrome people. So with this increased popularity in fermented foods, a lot of people are actually reacting to them because they contain high amounts of a histamine-producing bacteria. So we can send you a full list of foods that contain and mediate the release of histamine. Just get in touch via our website. So there's also mast-stimulating foods such as alcohol and cow's milk. Interestingly, A2 milk seems to be okay. So you need to try and eat as fresh as possible. So any foods with bacteria on them can create high histamine. So you need to avoid anything out of date. Moldy or aged meats, even leftovers from the previous meals can build up with extra histamine. Lectins and salicylates can also trigger mast cells in some people. So if you like a list of those, please reach out to us as well. Some probiotics also can raise histamine levels. So it's important to get the right strains, as there are mast cells living in your gut wall and about 80% of your immune system is in your gut. So obviously its health is really, really important. So one of the probiotics, Lactobacillus rhamnosus, is a strain that is low in histamine but also helps to lower overall histamine levels in your body. So that's pretty much the best one to take. We also need to manage our stress levels, which is something I was talking about before. But also, as well as this histamine, there's this link between cortisol and histamine as well in people with mast cell activation syndrome. So we actually did a whole episode about cortisol, which we will link to these show notes. Really, managing your stress will not only help you managing your mast cell activation syndrome symptoms, but also many other areas of your life too.
This is really such a complex condition, which really needs to be managed from a few different angles. But the most common question we get is, how can positive association technique, or PAT, help manage the symptoms of mast cell activation syndrome?
Yeah, so like we said earlier, allergies, sensitivities, and tolerances are both a symptom and an underlying driver of mast cell activation syndrome. So by addressing the symptoms of these reactions with positive association technique, we are able to reduce overall histamine and inflammation levels in the body. So that's going to be one piece of the puzzle in correcting this mast cell dysregulation.
So for those listeners who aren't familiar with our natural allergy treatment called PAT, our naturopaths use a form of muscle testing to assess your reactions to a variety of food, environmental, and chemical substances, and perform a non-invasive treatment to help reduce your reactions to these substances. So some of the common PAT treatments we've been doing for clients with mast cell activation syndrome include some of those you mentioned, Jenny, like salicylates, lectins, mold, and we even do a PAT treatment for histamine, which is especially beneficial for clients with mast cell activation syndrome or histamine intolerance. So could you explain how the histamine treatment works, Jenny?
Yeah, so like we said earlier, histamine naturally occurs in some foods, and other foods can mediate the release of histamine. And histamine is also produced when we are reacting to something. So when someone is reacting to their own histamine as well, it can create this vicious cycle of excess hormone production. So our PAT treatment for histamine aims to reduce this reaction and dampen the cycle.
Yeah, so if you've been diagnosed with mast cell activation syndrome or suspect it may be underlying your symptoms and are interested in seeing if PAT can help be a part of a holistic treatment plan to start getting you some relief, you can inquire via our website, naturalallergytreatment.com.au. We've got loads of information on there, as well as an online booking system to all our clinics in Australia and New Zealand. And be sure to subscribe to our channel. We will be posting another episode in approximately 1 month, and we'll be talking all about lectins and oxalates, which is going to be another really big topic as well. And I'll also pop any of the shows, that other episodes that we've mentioned, I'll pop them in the link in our show notes. But otherwise, thanks for today, Jenny. I look forward to speaking to you on the next one.
You're welcome, Jess. Yeah, it's great chatting again.